The following message is brought to you by City Place Church and Pastors Damon and Taisha Moore in Orlando, Florida. We hope this message inspires you to build new dreams, ignite your faith, and be established as the leader God is calling you to be. For more information, visit us online at cityplacechurch.com.
Well, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Habakkuk chapter 2. Habakkuk chapter 2, there's also some notes that'll be on the screen back here. And then you should have received something from our amazing First Impressions team. There's going to be some things that we're going to have you guys write down because it's going to be talking about who we are. But Habakkuk chapter 2 says this. It says, "Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets, that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. But at the end, it will speak. It will not lie, though it tarries. Wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry." Write the vision, make it plain, so that the person who reads it can run. If you cannot read it, if you do not see it, you will not be able to run. So if you're taking notes this morning, first thing, I didn't put this up there, but vision has to be intentional. The vision of your life has to be intentional. You can't just say, whatever happens this year will happen this year. The vision for your life, the vision for your family, the vision for what you've been called to do in a career has to be intentional. Otherwise, it gets chaotic. And so the Bible proves this in Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18. It says, "Where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint." Another version says, "Where there is no vision." Another text says, "Where there is no prophetic revelation," when God doesn't drop it to you and you don't do something with it, the people who would be able to run with you can't do anything. They run around aimlessly. Have you ever been in your life and the year gone by and you say, "What did I accomplish?" Yeah. Anybody? Have you ever been working on a project? This is me sometimes. I'll start working in the room to put up a picture, and then I'll go to another room, and then I'll start vacuuming, or I'll get up in front of you, start talking about church announcements, and be on a tangent about football. Clear vision. I function better with notes. Yeah. It's the same thing in life. If you can create a vision that comes from God, you write it down, you put it in front of you, so then when you see it, you can run. Otherwise, if you can't see it, you won't be able to say it, and then you don't know what you're doing. Yeah. Are you with me?
Yeah.
So in our life, as we are planning out what God has called us to do, we want to have a clear vision that's intentional. And so over the next few weeks, we're going to download who we are as City Place Church to you. But the purpose is we're going to give you tons of verses to be able to study because we want you to make the vision for your life intentional. Are you with me? Let's pray. God, thank you for the word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Wow.
That was quick.
That was the fastest prayer ever.
I know. So if we could title this, this would be, "This is who we are." We are City Place. So in your own family, we are the Johnson family. I am Jimmy, Tom, Sally, Sue, whoever it be. We are City Place Church.
Yeah, I think about, you know, when you're in different scenarios, you know, when you're with your family and it's time for Thanksgiving, they may call you by your pet name or that name that you've had since you were like 5 years old. Nobody else has one of those. Y'all don't want to tell anybody what your pet name is, but you know that when you get around your family, and you know, sometimes we feel like we float in and out of this kind of split identity syndrome, like when you get around your family, they know you as one way, and so you loosen up a little bit, you kick your shoes off a little bit, and you become a different person. But when you get in a different atmosphere, maybe a professional atmosphere or outside of that realm, you turn into a different person. And today we really want to hone in who you are at your core. Who you are, who is the you that doesn't change? What do we get when we get you? What does God get when he gets you? This is really important because God is a God that doesn't change, yet we do. He gives us environments where we adapt and we behave and we're chameleons. But there's something that he placed in you that's unique to you. And there's something that he placed in you that he didn't intend to change. So when he says, for example, I want you to be my chosen one, it means that when you go into work or when you go into school or when you're looking at the person you can't stand, he still wants you to remember that his spirit is upon you. He doesn't want us to take it off like a shirt. He wants us to keep it on. But so often you and I do not remember who we are. That's why we're preaching this. That's why we're talking about this and why it's so much of our heartbeat, because there's some things that need not change. That we actually have to recalibrate our minds to say, yes, that's right. The circumstance may be different, but at my core, God, I need you to show me who I am.
So good. Go with me to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 34, 9 through 12. We have to get down to the why.
Yeah.
The why. Simon Sinek says this: people aren't interested in what you do, they're interested in why you do it. People aren't interested in what you do, they're interested in why you do it. So what we do here is we might have a Sunday morning service, but there has to be a why. All of our leaders come at 8 o'clock every morning and hang, pipe and drape, put up a sign, make sure the chairs are nice and neat. The worship sounds good. We've got people moving. Even now, you don't even see them. They're working in different rooms. There's not a what we do, but it's a why we do it. And we've said it over and over again. We exist. We exist to be a life-giving church that builds dreams, ignites faith, and establishes leaders that win the loss for the kingdom of God. That's our why. We exist to be a life-giving church. Everybody say life-giving.
Life-giving.
We don't want to just be another church. We want to be life-giving. When you leave, we want you to go, okay, all right, I can do it, yeah. Building your dreams. We focus on your dreams. It may not sound like it's theology, but there is a purpose and destiny on the inside of you that has to come alive so that you can enjoy it. We want you to believe that whatever God's called you to do, you can do it.
Yeah.
But beyond you just doing it for yourself, you have to be established as a leader that wins the loss for the kingdom of God. So we're going to build you up so that you can build somebody else up. That's the reason why we exist.
Yeah.
We exist to build dreams. So how did this journey start? How did this why take shape, babe? You want to tell them the story? How we ended up at our why?
Yeah, a couple of years ago, many of you know this story, but some of you don't. A couple of years ago, we were living in North Carolina, and Damon started to tell me, he said, babe, I feel something rumbling. We were very happy in ministry. To be honest with you, there wasn't anything missing or broken. And so some of the times you have to depend on the Spirit of God that will cause you to go to sleep. And that's what happened to us. During the times that we would be sleeping, we would begin to see faces of people that were crying out for leaders that would draw them closer to Jesus. And we didn't know your faces at the time. We didn't know who you were. But now, 1 year later, after the plant of City Place Church, we see the fruition of the people that were saying, I need to draw closer to Jesus. No matter what it takes, I need to get my life together. I need to draw closer to the one who created me. And so over the years, we saw your faces and we saw many others. And God began to deal with us to say, where you are is comfortable, but where you're going is actually my plan for you. My question for you would be just like us, because our stories are no different. We're different people, but our stories are the same. What is it that God is prompting you about today? What is your why? You know, for us, it was we saw a city that was desolate. And frankly, to be very frank and very transparent, we saw a city, Orlando, that was okay to do their life without God. Not anti-God, not we don't want God. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? Not we don't want you, Jesus, just I'm okay if I don't do it with him. And that was what broke our hearts. And honestly, that was the faces that we saw, and then we understood the environment and we knew where we needed to be. So what's your why? What breaks your heart? When God causes you to get quiet and to rest, what is it that stirs your heart? You have to have your why that beats stronger than your what.
How many of y'all, if we took a show of hands right now, how many of y'all would say you could define your why? Okay. So over the next few weeks, we want to get you to your why. We want your why to keep you up at night. We want your why to have you leave everything from a city and move to a city for faces you hadn't seen yet. It's your why. Everybody say why.
Why?
Deuteronomy chapter 34 says this. It says in verse 9, it says, "Now Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands on him. So the children of Israel heeded him and did as the Lord had commanded. But since then there had not risen in Israel a prophet like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, in all the signs and wonders which the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt, before Pharaoh, before all of his prophets, his servants, and in all his land, and by all the mighty power and all the great terror which Moses performed in the sight of all of Israel." I give you this verse because there is a flow and a function that comes from a leader to the people that he or she leads. And it's important that the heart of the leader get on the people that he leads. And so over the next few moments, we're going to download to you some things that are innate in us that is rumbling at the foundation and core of City Place Church. The first thing is that we love God. Clear cut. That's number one. You can write that down. We love God. So if you get involved at City Place Church, you come here on a Sunday morning, foundational fact, nothing that will change is we love God. I will fight you if you talk about God. No lie. If you disrespect God, you and I are going to go out back because I love God so much because he loved me that much. Deuteronomy chapter 6 says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your strength." Now, I really won't fight you, but I'm passionate about God. And Deuteronomy says, "Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your mind, all of your soul, and all of your strength." So when we come in here and you see us passionate, the reason why we're passionate is because we love God. Clear cut, unashamed, this is who we are. This is who we are. And so it rumbles underneath the core. And just in the text that I read to you earlier, Deuteronomy chapter 34, it says that Moses knew God face to face. Face to face. That's crazy love. So much so, he says, nobody's come up like this dude. So we love God at our core.
Yeah. You know, it's so interesting in that one. I always think of this is in our personal lives. You know, right now, you know that we have two kids, many of you know. And so they're young. They're young in those adolescent years where they're starting to formulate who they are and who they want to be and what they're going to do. How many of you guys have kids, kiddos? You'll understand what I mean when you understand that blank slate is there. You know, you know the responsibility that you have to sort of create the foundation, and it's a huge responsibility. I look at my boys, and I know how much I love God, but I know how much I went through to get to that place. Any parents can understand? I know how much I went through to get to that place, and my biggest prayer as a parent is to look at my children and to say, if I don't give you the shoes that you are asking me for, if I don't have your perfect favorite dinner, I pray that what I do as a person would draw you closer to Jesus.
Amen.
And it's that same kind of analogy that I have for my boys that Damon and I have for you. If we do nothing else correct, if when you come in the parking is jacked up, if something is missing or the microphones aren't on, I pray above all else that you would deeply, deeply love your God. That when you come here, it wouldn't just be great, but that it would draw you back to a relationship that you couldn't stand to live without. So number one is we love God. The second one is we love people. People.
People. Look at the person beside you and say, "I love you." Boy, in the WWF back in the day, they had somebody named Brother Love. And Brother Love say, "I love you." Look at the other person say, "I love you." Even if they're a stranger.
And then we left the country.
Even if they're a stranger.
You know, this one is a little bit tough because I don't believe that what I'm about to say is just female. I believe that what I'm about to say is just people. It's just reality.
Now, you know all the guys just totally went to
no,
a football game or
they
something
shouldn't.
When you said that.
They shouldn't, because they're going to agree with me in a second. I don't always like people.
Wow. People are nodding their head like you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm not going to say nothing,
truth.
But yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's why they didn't go to a football game, because y'all know I'm not by myself. I don't always like people. Sometimes people disappoint us. Sometimes people cut
Preach
me off.
Preach it, pastor.
Right. sometimes people...
We love people, but I don't always like people. This is
confession.
Who we are at the core.
Confession. Thank you. You know, sometimes people cut us off in traffic. Sometimes people are broken. But you know, we've often heard this saying that hurting people hurt people, right? And so often we're on this both sides of the equation. Come on now, I want to challenge you in something, because just as much as we don't always like people, people don't always like us. That's good. Because sometimes we are the perpetrators, and sometimes we're the victims, right? And so God calls us. You remember in the beginning we said there's some things that don't change. That God tells us this is not to change. God didn't choose to send Jesus because we were on our best behavior. He did not send him because we even loved him. He sent him because he loved us. And as a result, he said, you go do the same thing. If I can do it, when you don't even want me, you can do it. And there are some times where we need to look that person in the face and say, with the love of Jesus, with the love of Jesus, I choose. Nobody's forcing me. There are no shackles on my hands. I choose to love you. So we love people at City Place Church. It's the core of who we are because it goes against our natural emotions. I don't want to love people when I get up early. I don't want to love people when there's a huge line at the airport and all I want you to do is move, right? Right? I say it just like, all I want you to do, if you could just move a little faster. That's what pastor's wives should say. But me, no. I'm like, I'll just stay here nice and slow waiting for you. No problem. Yep, absolutely.
Y'all see that whenever we go out, I always have her go and say, hey, that's messed up. Can you please change that?
Yeah, that's not good.
I'll be like, hey, Ty, go, girl.
Get him. Tell
him. I got to stay past store. I get convicted, not Taisha. Now, you know, I was in this line. I've been here for 15 minutes. I'd be back there going, and I'm still the pastor. But she need to answer that altar call on Sunday.
I wasn't always in love with Jesus.
It's good to have balance.
It's good to have balance. We go against our natural emotion in Jesus' name. Right. We love people. We love people.
1 John 4:7-8 says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and know God. Remember, we love God. We love people. 1 John says, hey, you know God if you love people. Here's another thing. We are of an excellent spirit. We are of an excellent spirit. Numbers chapter 14, 24 says, but my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit and he followed me fully, I'll bring him into the place where he should inherit. We have an excellent spirit. That doesn't mean that we're going to be perfect. But I can tell you that when we're serving, when we're giving, when we're sowing into the community, when we're serving in local places, when we're praying, our heart is going to be of excellence. So you might come in and the sign might be leaning to the side. That's based on the perfection. But I can guarantee you that there's a team member going, ooh, let me get that. And maybe they just didn't get it in time. We're going to be of an excellent spirit. So everything that we will ever do at City Place Church, we want to surround it in excellence. Everybody say excellence.
Excellence.
So here's the thing. Caleb had a different spirit. There was something about Caleb where God looked and said, I've got a harvest for him. And so if we as leaders and us as a church and you in your own private life can give the excellence in your spirit, God says, you can handle the harvest. You know how to handle my stuff. Everybody say excellence.
Excellence. The next one is we cover each other. We cover each other. That's on your notes. We cover each other. What does that mean? The Bible says in 1 Samuel 14:6-7, this is the story of Jonathan and his armor bearer who was set to be heir over Israel, and says, then Jonathan said to the young man who bore his armor, his servant, come, let us go over to the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us, for nothing restrains the Lord from saving by many or by few. So his armor bearer said to him, do all that is in your heart. Go then, here I am with you according to your heart. The Bible says that Jonathan tells his armor bearer, somebody who's not his equal, who has no bearing over him, who says, look, I want to go and fight. And his armor bearer says, You do what's in your heart to do. Now, it's easy for us to just kind of quickly go through that story, but at the end of the day, the armor bearer was not bearing any arms. He was bearing the weapons of the one that he was serving, which means that his armor bearer said, you know, come what may to me, I will do what's in your heart to do. I will do whatever it is that the Lord is speaking for you to do. We cover each other. This is not a power play. This isn't, okay, Daniel, you, we're going to do what's in, will you go with me? Yes. That's teamwork. That's not what we're talking about. We're saying we cover one another. You know what? Maybe somebody came in with a bad attitude, or maybe somebody's going through something, but we cover them. We cover them in prayer. We think the best instead of thinking the worst. Perhaps that person is going through something that we don't understand. So often we go straight to, see, I told you. That's, I'm going to need to address that because I understand you might be having a bad day, but don't be coming up in here with your bad attitude. Y'all been around these environments, right? I don't know where you work. I don't know what your family's like. But what we say is at City Place Church, that's not what we do. We cover each other. We cover each other because we know that the same God that lives in you is the same God that lives in me, and we're on the same team. This is home team. Home team.
Amen. Look at everybody, look at the person beside you, say, I got you.
I got you.
See, if we can cover each other, then when in the tough moments come, we won't be pointing fingers at each other. How many of y'all can cover each other in your own home? Mm-hmm. Family. Here's the next thing we do. We cover our leaders. Now, as a senior pastor, I can honestly tell you without pride, this is something that Taish and I, if we could have a doctorate degree in serving, we would have a doctorate degree in this. We have served our leaders faithfully, covered them. With no matter what it was, we've covered them. Doesn't mean that we've always agreed, but it does mean that we've covered them. And there's a story in the Bible in Exodus chapter 17. I told you we were going to give you guys a lot of verses, so I hope that you're reading. Because the challenge is that if you can look at these points and you can say, we can apply this to our vision. We can love God. We can love people. We can be excellent in spirit. Then when you get home, you can study. You can say, we'll take this to our family. We can add this to our family. And then by the next 3 weeks, we have vision. Exodus chapter 17 says, so Joshua did as Moses said to him, and he fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And so it was when Moses held up his hand, the Israelites prevailed. And when he let down his hands, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands became heavy. So they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. And Aaron and Hur supported his hands on one side and the other side. And the hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua defeated Amalek and the people with the edge of the sword. If you all, myself, cover our leaders, then when it comes time for City Place Church to take the hill, when we get tired, because we will, if you all come alongside of us and lift up our arms, victory is won. Moses wasn't in the fight. Joshua was. So the fight that you will be fighting in your own personal life for your own dreams, even as you're serving and covering your leaders, Joshua won the victory. It didn't mention Moses won. Joshua, because he was in the trenches, but there were some people holding up their pastor's hands. So when you are in your own home and you've got your family members and you're covering them and y'all are fighting whatever it is, there's a promise that says, as I lift up my spouse's hand, as I'm encouraging my little kid, come on, come on, you can do it. We prevail. Taish and I have a doctorate degree in covering our leaders. The reason why is because the enemy will come for the leader. The enemy will come for the leader. And if you don't have some snipers, if you don't have Secret Service, they'll take him out. They'll take her out. And so you're vital. If you're leading an area of ministry at City Place Church, you're vital because you're going to need people to lift up your arms. And it's the same thing in your own home. And so we value leaders here. So if I'm hanging out with you in your business, I'm going to be like, how can I support you? I got a chance to hang out with one of the gentlemen in our church. He does a basketball thing in the community. He was like, how can I serve you? I'm like, no, this is not my thing. This is yours. How can I help you? Because I'm here to cover you in this event. So we cover our leaders.
Yeah, the next one is that we are spirit-led. We are spirit-led. We don't want you to misunderstand this important point. This is an important one because we believe in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we get into church and we get into environments, and this particular point has been manipulated, or maybe even, you know, you come into church maybe for the first time, or maybe it's unfamiliar to you, and you go, what is happening here? We don't want you to misunderstand in the services. Sometimes there's times where we're really going in and we say, now it's your turn. Now you open up your mouth and you give your song to the Lord. That's an example of the one of the ways that we worship, but that is not the only way. We believe here at City Place Church that the Holy Spirit intends and desires to have influence over our everyday life, everyday decisions. Now, I don't want you to misunderstand or go, oh, yeah, here they go. But what would happen if the Holy Spirit really said, Solomon, actually, this is the business deal for you. This one is not. What would happen when you're applying for something new instead of just blanketing out Central Florida with your resumes, if you would stop and get quiet and hear what it is that you should do? What would happen when you're having that argument with your spouse, when you get quiet and you respond when the Holy Spirit says, no, yeah, you're right, but you still apologize?
That's right. Amen. You better say it, Holy Spirit. We're going
right.
to re-listen to this CD. I'm going to tell you now.
But we're going home together, so we'll just... No, I'm just joking. I'm just joking. Yeah, but being Spirit-led doesn't mean that we're being led by our emotions. It doesn't mean anything of the sort. It means that we yield to what God is saying. Literally, in today's posture, it would be doing this. You take a knee. Whatever it is that you want, I will stop and wait for you. In other countries, when they have royalty and the royalty passes by, everyone stands at attention. They stand at attention if they're military, or they bow down low if you're in Asia. That is the kind of nature of our heart. When we say we are Spirit-led, we stand at attention to listen to what he's going to say. And we bow down low because we know that he is God. Sometimes we like to pretend that we can turn this on and turn this off. Well, Spirit-led means when we come into church, we should, and I'm Spirit-led. But what happens when that same person that's dancing and having a good old time in church listens not to the voice of the Holy Spirit? Are you unlocking the full potential of the Holy Spirit in your life? It's an arbitrary question that I want you to answer. So here at City Place Church, we believe in the power of the Holy Spirit because we know that he is fully God.
Amen. And in the month of March, we're going to be preaching on old school. We're going to be talking about the Holy Spirit. Biblical truths that sometimes get put on the shelf, we're going to bring them back out and go right at it. We are generous. We are generous. My wife and I, we were talking last week, just yesterday, about the things that we've been doing in our church. And we looked, we were like, well, you know, we've been doing a little bit of this, a little bit of that. But we realized that we have been involved in how many? 72 outreach events this year. 72, but we haven't really like dove in. And so we have been involved in hurricane relief. We have been involved in the Louisiana relief. We went down to be a support during the Pulse shooting. We were here for the teachers, appreciating the teachers. We've gone to the children's home. We've been here mentoring. I mean, there's sometimes we don't even know that we're just this generous, but we are a generous church, not just in our money, but in our time. We looked it up, our team served 6,000. Was that right? Is that the number?
Hours. Just the Dream Team alone on Sunday mornings, just in this 1 year, have served 3,616 hours just on Sundays. Just on Sundays.
Generous. Dream Team, you're generous. You're generous. The Bible says, I read it to you earlier in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, he who sows bountifully will reap bountifully. The disciple says, Jesus, we gave up everything for you. We've given up family, houses. And Jesus looked back and says, you know what? You're right. He says, and you're going to receive 100 times now in this season of your life. So we're going to be generous. This year, our goal is to give at least $5,000 to local missions, international missions. This year, $5,000. Last year, we gave a little over $1,000. Little over $1,000 last year. So this year, we want to be even more generous. Why? Because this is who we are.
Yeah. And it's important to note sometimes we also click in and we say, but I'm generous with my time, so I don't need to be with my money. God actually calls us to do both.
Yeah.
He evens the playing field. We talk about it in the week, and sometimes we just say, is that part of the service? Let me shut down and have, think about my spouse who needs to apologize. That's what we do. But God asks us for generosity in both our time and our money. It's not an either-or situation. So often, I remember as PTA, I'm going to tell y'all the truth. When I was PTA mom, I was thinking, well, y'all don't need a donation from me. I'm up here, every day, running amok, right, back and forth, decorating doors and giving out goodie bags, right? You don't need my classroom donation. No, you need time and money. There were $101,000 given to launch City Place Church before the service ever happened. I'm so thankful that those individuals didn't say, well, I'll stuff some envelopes for you. Well, I'll smile and pray for you, but I won't send anything. I promised that you and I wouldn't be sitting here today. So God asked for generosity, and we are generous.
Amen. Amen. We are passionate in worship. How many of y'all could see that with the team jumping around? And so the goal is that we want heaven to come down wherever we are. I read to you John chapter 4, where now is the time where God is looking for true worshipers. And so we're going to be passionate in worship every single week. Our kids, y'all should see the kids. I can see them from the stage. They're jumping around. Their hands are lifted. Why? Because you and I are modeling that for them. So we want to have a passion in worship. The other thing is that we want to be in a position and have an attitude of whatever it takes. Look at the person and say, whatever it takes.
Whatever it takes.
We want to do whatever it takes so that we can win. This morning, we had some late notices. Pastor Jared and Charity had their baby yesterday. They are kicking off the series. So yesterday, having their baby takes them out of service today. Travis, his father, he had to run back to North Carolina because his father had some health issues. We've had other people get pulled and so many different things. And we brought our team together today and we said, hey, everybody this morning is going to be a greeter. Everybody is going to do this. Everybody's going to do that. Why? Because we have a whatever it takes attitude. So it doesn't matter. As the pastors, we're going to do whatever it takes because when you come in, we want you to have a passionate worship experience. We want the Spirit of God to lead you to your dreams, to your desires. And there's a cool story in the Bible in 2 Samuel chapter 14 where, I'm sorry, 2 Samuel, I think it's chapter 23. I didn't put it up there. 23. And it says that David longs for a cup of water back over in his homeland. And he's got all these guys who are out to battle. And three guys go, hey, let's go get David some water. And so they climb through the fighting to go get David a cup of water because they were like, it's whatever it takes. We'll do whatever it takes. So they go through the fighting to get just a cup of water. Now, I'm not talking about that for us. I'm talking about we do whatever it takes for God's house. And so in your own home, do whatever it takes to make sure the purpose and plan is achieved in your family's life and in your home.
Yeah, the story is told of Disney. How many of you guys have been to Disney, the Disney parks? We're here, so, we always say, we don't do tourist stuff. Yes, we do. We do tourist stuff. Well, when Damon and I first moved and planted City Place Church as a gift to our kids, we decided we were going to get them passes to a theme park.
Yes.
But we didn't tell them where, because we looked up Disney, and we said, oh, my gosh.
Yes.
You're asking for a kidney for me to go to Disney.
A rental home, a mortgage
payment. Yes. And so we got passes to Legoland.
Oh. That's the same thing we did after we went.
Yeah. So we're walking around Legoland, and nothing against Legoland. It's a good establishment. But we walk up to Legoland, we see the first character, and he comes up, and he's, they're, doing the plays, and it's the person talking, and you can tell that they're overdubbing with their mouth. You know what I'm talking about? Because no one should be talking, and so they're just like, and it was really, really, really bad. And the person in the costume is wearing this costume, and it's like three sizes too big. And we're just looking at this going, this is not Disney. This is not Disney. Disney has ruined us. The story is told that as Disney executives walk through that park, no matter who they are, no matter what rank they hold, no matter if it's the CEO or if it's the janitor, if there is something on the piece something on the ground, a piece of paper, a piece of gum, no matter what it is, they will step down and they will pick it up. They will pick it up because it's their job to make the atmosphere and to make it excellent. No matter who it is, it's a whatever it takes spirit.
Anybody it's a whatever it takes anybody spirit. Ever see an overflowing trash can at Disney? Any gum on the ground? I was at Disney Wild World of Sports, and I was like, I'm going to find it today. And I was looking, nothing, because they all have a whatever it takes attitude.
The next one is that we dream big. You know, we make no apologies here for pushing us together as family to dream big. And if you've been around City Place for any amount of time, you know exactly what we're talking about. During the summer, we had only been, I don't know, maybe 4 or 5 months into the plant of City Place, and we said, this is going to be our best summer ever. And we're going to help everybody get to the same destination. This will be our best summer ever. And I think about how bold that statement was. Like, it's nice and it sounds cute, but I think how bold that is. We're just young and yay, City Place. But this is going to be your best summer ever. It's so funny because it was a faith statement for me, to be honest. And I co-lead this church. It was a faith statement for us to say, this is going to be corporately our best summer ever. But you know what so blessed me is that as together, when we joined in and said, I subscribe to that, this is going to be my best summer. It is going to be my best year. We heard testimony after testimony after testimony after testimony of people who said, I believe it. And it is going to be mine, and this is what happened as a result. I went for it. I got it. My business grew. I'm doing something that I've always dreamed about. I'm writing that project. This is going to be my best year ever. Amen. And it was like God whispering so sweetly, when you dream big, I will reward that faith. Mm. What does it profit me when you play it safe? Mm. What glory do you allow me to get when you can do it anyways? Mm. What does it profit our God when you and I play it safe?
Wow.
He wants the glory when it seems impossible, and so therefore we dream big. Mm.
Ephesians chapter 3 says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly, above all that we could ask or think, according to the power that works in you. Dream big. The final thing is this, is we make history, we don't repeat it. We make history, we don't repeat it. Deuteronomy chapter 34, the original text that we read, said that Joshua was full of the Spirit because Moses laid his hand on him. And it said that there's never been anybody who rose like Moses did. And so as we go through our seasons and our years, we're almost 1 year old, when we go into our second year, third year, fifth year, 10th year, 20th year, there are things that has never been done before. We want to make history. We do not want to repeat history here at City Place Church. We want to be world changers. So there's things that we want to do as a church that we're going to be talking to you guys about for 2017 over the next 3 weeks. And then we're going to cast vision beyond this year to you, because we will not be portable forever. So in the next 3 years, we want a permanent building. How many of y'all can believe for that? But how cool would it be if our kids' facility wasn't just something that we came to? How cool would it be if our kids' facility was a place that our community wanted to come to? And it wasn't just on Sundays. Yeah. We want to make history at City Place Church. I haven't seen a church doing that yet. We're not in competition, but that's just something that we can do. Are you with me? How awesome would it be if we at City Place Church, now you got to go with me, I'm not trying to freak you out, but how awesome would it be if we could plant 5 campuses, meaning that we would raise up 5 pastoral teams who could plant 5 campuses throughout Central Florida? Come on. Can you go with me for a second? Remember, we dream big. We make history. I know that other churches are planting more churches. That's fine. I understand. But for City Place Church, at some point, we're going to hand off the microphone, and the church has still got to run 20, 50, 30, 40 years from now. So we're going to dream big, and we're going to make history. So we're going to see more people saved this year. We had 114 people give their life to Jesus. Come on, 114. That's really good, right? That's good. That's good. That's good. Well, why can't we see 150 this year? We can't go get them, but you can. Y'all got quiet. Y'all like, We baptized, now watch, we baptized 8 people so far, and we're going to baptize another little guy today. How about us extending our faith to make history? Because we're making history against ourselves. I believe that we can baptize 50 people. I know that's crazy. I know it's a number. But the Bible says in Acts that there was 3,000 that was added in a day. So they talk numbers. So I believe that we can baptize 50 people this year. Can we do it? So we've got some targets that we can make history in year number 2. We want to position ourselves for strength financially. We gave $1,000. Let's give 5. I know it's our money, but let's give 5. So generously, gives it back to us generously. Yeah. 1,000 is a golf clap. That's great. But for the kid that needs water, for the churches that need to be planted that don't even know about the gospel yet, I can't sit up here and be like, we got church. But way over in Asia, on the furthest countries that we haven't even heard mentioned yet, they need the gospel too. We've got an opportunity this year to go to Honduras. Anybody want to go on a missions trip? There's 50 boys in Honduras needing some love. And someone just sent us some information. He's like our brother. His name is Glenn. Is they pastor short? He's like, y'all want to go? We dreaming big, we making history. This year, we're going to talk vision until you get tired of it. That's what Bill Hybel says. He said, you're not talking vision until your people tell you they're tired of hearing it. And so we didn't spend much time on the vision, and I know this is not the normal, I feel like preaching. Vision. If you and I go home and we write the vision and make it plain, then we can run. So you'll see this year that because we released vision, when you come in and you see us jumping around, you'll be like, yeah, because we're passionate in worship now, instead of they just jumping around for nothing. When you hear me preaching or Taisha preaching or somebody preaching passionate, it's because we love God. So now you go, oh, that's their why. That's the reason why they're so passionate. When I hug you tight and don't let you go, it's because I love you. I might even like you too. No, I like people and love them too. Taisha, hug her before you go. You know what I'm saying? And say, getting to know you, getting to hope you like me. This is who we are. As you go home, take a look at some of the things that's the foundational rumblings of City Place Church. And maybe you go, well, I've been praying about City Place Church. I love God. I love people. I have an excellent spirit. Maybe it's time to go deeper. Maybe I can run with them. Maybe I can run with them this year. I've been kind of sitting on the edge. Maybe I can, you know what? I'm gonna start tithing. You know what? I'm gonna start serving. I'm gonna run. Let's see if we can accomplish this vision together. Because we're gonna build your dreams. We're gonna ignite your faith. But we want to establish you as a leader that God's called you so you can win the people in your office and your community.
That's all for this week's podcast edition. Join us online at cityplacechurch.com for more resources, upcoming events, or to submit a prayer request. Or if you are in the Central Florida area, join us on Sunday morning for a life-giving service that builds dreams, ignites faith, and establishes leaders for the kingdom of Christ.